How many know it's Bible? Bible. Now listen, this Abishag must have been some looker, and I'll tell you why. After David died, Solomon's older brother, and I forget the guy's name, went up to Bathsheba. That's another interesting problem. And says, "Mother, that Abishag, she really turns me on. You ask King Solomon now, my brother, if he'll give me our father's wife, Abishag." And how many know this is in the Bible? All right. So Bathsheba went up to David and said, "Your brother wants Abishag." And he said, "Hey, that's the excuse I've been looking for. He's going to be dead before the sun goes down tonight." So he sent some guys out and says they fell on him and he died. King David had told Solomon certain things about who to get rid of in the kingdom so that he might establish it firmly for himself. So she was quite a woman. The Song of Solomon is a very interesting book, and how many know that there are many, many books written about the Song of Solomon with various interpretations? Now, there's no question about it. There's one woman, but there seem to be two men in the Song of Solomon. One is the king and the other is the shepherd. I want you to try it out sometime as though the shepherd is King David, because you'll discover that he never completes anything in the song. But the king is trying to get her. That's Solomon. You remember that? And when you study that out, you may discover that the Song of Solomon means a whole lot more when you find out who the Shulamite woman is. The wife of the king's father. Try it out. I'm not saying it's all the way, you know, just try it out and see what happens to you. Maybe we'll have to write a new book about it. Everybody else is writing one, so... We'll give our theory to you. How's that for a pure genealogy? And isn't it upsetting that this is the genealogy of our Savior Jesus Christ? Are you seeing what I'm trying to get at? God is the God of another chance. And if you're obedient, that's how you get the blessings, not because of your natural lineage. And if there's anybody here that thinks he's superior to someone else or inferior to someone else, see, this works both ways. We have people here tonight who have been taught they were inferior because of their race. We have people here who have been taught that they are superior because of their race. We have people here who have been taught that because they have Jewish heritage, they are better than other Christians. And we have people, Christians here tonight, who have said bow to a Jew when he becomes a Christian because he's going to be better than you later on. And have you noticed the Bible teacher tonight is challenging all of these concepts? I don't care if you were born with a silver spoon or born to be an earthen vessel. You have a potential in God. There's not a person here that has any bigger chance or less chance. It's all according to what you do with your present chance. Am I clear on this? The Bible is, I feel clear. I don't think anybody here is better than anybody else. Now look them over. Turn around, look at each other for just a minute. See if I'm wrong. Front row, look at the back row. Turn around, would you please? Look at the back row. Back row, smile. Is anybody here that's any better or worse than anybody else? We all have a chance and a chance for sensitivity and spiritual truth. Now in the New Testament, in Acts 8:37, Philip took his jet and went down to Gaza. Landed that thing on the pad, and there was a chariot, and of all things, who was up on the top of the chariot riding along? Ethiopian eunuch. Well now, you just read my monarch on the eunuch, didn't you? Ethiopian eunuch. Now for the spinoff. That man was black as the ace of spades. And he said 9 words that changed his life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, I got one of those wrong, but that's close enough. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip said, listen here, there is now nothing that stands between you and the kingdom of God. Come on down off that thing and let's look for some water. And he baptized him there in the desert. Immersed him. That's a private theological joke. And that fellow went back, he jumped up on a camel, and he headed right on back to Ethiopia, went to Cairo, and he established the Coptic church, and that church is still in existence today because a black man got saved. Now, don't tell me that black men cannot get into heaven, because the Bible says they do get saved and they do go to heaven. You hear it? Now, I know there are people that are writing all kind of literature to you, telling you exactly opposite of what we're saying. But tonight, I'm trying to establish some things right now. There is no advantage and there is no disadvantage in the way you were born. But there's great advantage and a disadvantage in the way you conduct your life. Are we clear on this? You're still going to have to shape up or ship out. But that's a different subject. And wouldn't you know it, when Peter went on up because of the four-cornered sheet, you remember, rice, kill, and eat. Oh, no, not me. It's not kosher. He went up to Cornelius' house, and it says Cornelius was the captain of the Italian band. He played first chair trombone. No, that's not what it meant. He was a band of soldiers, and he was the centurion. He was the captain. He was the head of 100. And this man was an Italian. Now, we know he's Italian because he ate pizza. And Peter was upset, and he said, now, you know. They said, why did you send for me? And he says, because God told us you had the words of the Lord. Come and tell us. I was praying. I was fasting. And he said, come tell us what's going on. And he said, now I know. You know that it is, well, somebody turn to and read it. It'd be better because you'll get it exactly. Give it to me in 10:1, Acts 10:1, and then we'll go to 28 and 34. 10:1, where he's having the flat first about going. Acts 10:1.
Of the band called the Italian band.
All right, and then we're going to skip around a little bit. Now this Cornelius, he heads on up to the roof because supper's not ready. And he's praying up there, and the four-cornered sheet. Now give me verse 28. He's gone all the way up now to Cornelius' house. Four men came and all that. Give it to me again real loud because I don't want to waste any more time.
And he said unto them, you know how it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation.
Did you hear what he said? We cannot come unto one of another nation. It's unlawful. Look at that genealogy. We're not allowed to eat with you. I guess maybe we can sleep with them, but we can't eat with them. Well, that's not what he meant, too. It's unlawful. We cannot have anything to do. Don't you know what he said there? He says, Jews don't eat pizza. He says, we Jews do not eat with you Italians. And he says, it's unlawful for me to be up here, but now I perceive, give me verse 34.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Say that again.
Of the truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Now say, God is no respecter of persons. Everybody say it. God is no respecter of persons. Say it again. God is no respecter of persons. Say it again. God is no respecter of persons. Somebody say, praise the Lord, to do something. Now I see and perceive. Did you see the word now? That means he didn't see it before. Now I see. And he began to tell them about Jesus Christ and what it did and how it died. And the blood of Jesus covers all past sin. And while he was preaching and while he was teaching, then the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them as he did on us at the beginning, for we heard them speak with tongues. And he said, who am I that I should forbid water, seeing God? You remember that? I'm doing a paraphrase, but it's all right. Seeing God has chosen them as he did us in the beginning, and he baptized the Italians just like Philip baptized the Negro. Now, come on, you Italians, say praise God or something, would you? You know why? If it hadn't have been for that episode, Italians wouldn't be in the kingdom. Come on, you Roman Catholics. I want you to know something. This is big news. This would have hit the 6 o'clock news with Walter Cronkite. 6:30 news now. Well, whatever. And now I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Give it to me in chapter 11, verse
18. When they heard these things...
Wait a minute. When they heard these things, who's they? Well, here's the story. Peter is now back in Jerusalem,
and he's on trial.
And why is he on trial? He went to see how the day go. He went up there to those Italians. And he said to those Italians, Jesus is your Savior. No, he didn't exactly say that. He told a story, and he proved to them that he was the Savior when the Holy Ghost came. And now he's back in Jerusalem, and are they thrilled?
Yeah.
Same problem, racial prejudice. Are you seeing it? And who is prejudice against who? Nowadays, we're prejudiced against Jews. Back then, it was Jews against Italians. Come on, that's what it is. And so, praise God, there's the answer. Now I perceive God is no respecter of persons. Now read. And when they heard, go ahead.
When they heard these things, they held their peace. They glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.
Say that again. They held their peace.
They held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.
Some Gentiles say, praise God, will you? Praise God. They didn't know that before. You see, all these are revelations. These are truths that are going on. And what are we discovering? God is no respecter of persons. Now, if you've got some kind of problem in your present life or in your lineage, in your predecessors, let me tell you something. that does not enter into your spiritual sensitivity. Every person here has the ability to hear from God. I believe that. I conduct my life that way. The people I meet, the people I teach, the people I work with, the people I listen to, I believe that every person here has the same ability and the same potential of hearing from God. I know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I believe that. This is very important to me, and I'm very sincere about it. Now read Revelation. We start out with a verse in Revelation, so let's finish with one in Revelation 19:10.
And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus.
Now I'm going to stop here. Who is he falling at the feet of? An angel. Is that what it said there in the verse above it? There was a mighty angel, one of the angels that had one of the seven last vials. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, Do it not, I'm one of thy
fellow servants.
And a
brethren.
Keep going.
And have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Got to stop and go around this one a couple times. Angel, seven last vials. I fell at his feet to worship him. Now, we don't fall at the feet of the angel to worship him, but how many of you know when, often, very often, whenever anybody saw an angel, they... Remember, Daniel, John at the first, and often you see... Angels, why? Well, it takes your breath away. All right. And then what did he say? Don't do it. I am of your friend, fellow servant. I have the testimony of Jesus. Now, hold on. Here's a picture of an angel. Remember when I started out with that angel? Wings. Long, flowing blonde hair. Blue eyes. Isn't that the way Michelangelo painted an angel? We all know what an angel is. But that's not what that said. No, that said, it's an angel that's a brother. Now, you know angels don't have the testimony of Jesus. Angels desire to look into the salvation. The angels are not saved. They have no reason to be saved. They are obedient. This is a brother. You read it? This has the testimony of Jesus. This is a fellow servant. You know what that means? He's got flesh and blood. How many know the angel, the word angel also means messenger? And so then an angel doesn't have to have long blonde hair, blue eyes, wings. How many know the Bible says some have even entertained angels unawares? Now let me tell you something. If there was a guy came into my house and I entertained him for supper and he had long blonde hair and big wings, I'd be awares. What's he saying? He's saying angels can be tricky. Now turn around and look at each other. Point made. See if you can find them. These are the messengers of God. They're brethren. Somebody says they're sisters. Well, Michelangelo painted them feminine, so that's all right too. People of messengers. And these people are God's instruments chosen. And they have the testimony of Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of... Say it.
Prophecy.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Did you just say Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has come in the flesh. Jesus is Lord. Say it. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus as Son of God. Jesus has come in the flesh. And Jesus is Lord. That's enough for that. That's establishes. Then you have the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of
prophecy.
Therefore, the Bible says you are a prophet. Turn around and shake the hand of one of God's prophets right now, would you please? Turn around and shake the hand of God's prophets. Turn around and shake the hand of God's prophets, would you please? Turn around right now and shake God's prophets. These are God's prophets. Did you hear me? These are God's prophets. But what's the Bible teacher trying to do now? Let me tell you something. A king has to come out of Judah. And a priest has to come out of Levi. But the prophets came from all the tribes. Praise God. Did you hear me, prophet? The prophets came from all the people. And Moses said, I would to God that all God's people were prophets and would prophesy. Do you remember that? All right. And here they are, God's prophets, right now, prophesying. For the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Well, this is the scripture that, the one I don't like, but here it is. The Bible's got a lot of scriptures I don't like. If I had the opportunity, I'd cut some of them out. But they're there, so I have to deal with them. Let me tell you one of them. By patient continuance and well-doing. I don't even like the preamble to that one. Who wants patient continuance and well-doing? Listen, I have learned my lesson on patience. I told God a long time ago, God, I'm patient. Before I said that, I said, Lord, I want patience. Hurry up and send it. So I got tribulation, but that's another story. You know what the Bible says, tribulation worketh patience. That's why I got that. Somebody, well, I don't know. I might want to read this myself because it's such a complicated one. I know we're in 1 Corinthians right now. Paul, you could have left this out if you'd have wanted to, but you put it in, so I got to deal with it. And this is about people that are chosen. And I'm in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. I mean, it will be shortly. And over here in verse 17, he's talking about ministry, and he's talking about a message, and he's talking about having a message and being a minister and being a prophet and having a testimony, and that's for everybody here tonight. Do you have the testimony of Jesus?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
All right, then you're a prophet. If you're a prophet, do you have a ministry?
Yes.
All right, now we settle that. I'll go to 16 for a minute to set stage. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For it says necessity, but the word's distress. It was laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And when I saw this next verse, this is one I was going to cut out, but I have to leave it in. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation, now the word other gospel is in italics, that means it wasn't there. You know that, don't you? A dispensation is committed unto me. Now that doesn't make sense, so I'm going to have to go through it with you on several occasions in order that this will, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to understand this verse. Did you hear it? In Jesus' name, you're going to understand this. And you know why? Because you prayed that God would make me an oracle. And this is what he said. Volunteers in God's army, if I do this willingly. See it? Volunteers, many are called if you're chosen. Volunteers in God's army are rewarded. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, see what that says? That means if I've been drafted, called back in, A dispensation is committed unto me. Now, what's that word dispensation? You were called for the duration. Weren't you? A dispensation of time. And he says right here that the draftees get a dispensation, a duration of time. And the volunteers get rewards. And that's what I don't like about that verse. Because the job I got now, I'm a draftee. I volunteered for the Navy, but I was chosen to be a teacher in the kingdom of God. I never volunteered. My wife and I talked about it on many years, for years, but we could see it coming. How many know that you know the letter's coming? And I agreed when we got married that I wouldn't be a preacher. But let that be a lesson to you. I didn't want to be, but I've learned some lessons. I've seen the difference between called and chosen. And I know that we're not chosen for blessing. We're chosen for service. But nobody here has an advantage over anybody else. Do me a favor. Turn to the one next to you and say, I like you, but you have no advantage over me. Will you stand with me while we pray? Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, we stand before you right now as needy people, and we need you, and we need your hand of love and mercy, guidance and direction, abundance, healing, whatever the nature of the need is, Lord, we need you, and we ask you to touch us right now. And now, Lord, we pray that every word that was said here by David Ebaugh will be forgotten, but those words that have been anointed by the Holy Ghost, where David Ebaugh was an oracle, standing before, between you and the people, studying the word, sanctifying you, setting you apart, then, Lord, we pray that those words will be remembered forever and eternally fixed in our minds and lives. We pray that none of us will go away from here with a superiority feeling, that everybody here will go away with a concept that we all have a chance. In Jesus' name, amen.